Now we have another great message from our Reverend George E. Gray.
Well, I tell you, I appreciate all the work and so on that has gone into this week, because I know it's a lot, by a lot of different people, and I don't know who all those are, but no, it's okay. It's all right. That's all right. So I appreciate that. I've enjoyed the special music, and the talent night last night was really, really good. It was good. I remember a lot of those things for a long time. A man was on his deathbed. He called in his wife, his daughter, and his son. He hadn't been very faithful to church, but he decided to call for his minister as well. They were all around his bed during the last moments of the man's life. The man turned first to his daughter and weakly said, "Honey, all the houses on Maple Street, they belong to you." Then he turned to his son and said, "Son, the houses on the north side and the south side of Oak Street, they all belong to you. All of them." Then he turned to his wife and said, "Sweetheart, you have the GE commercial building and the AT&T building and the GM building. In the industrial complex, they're all yours." With that, the old man pillowed his head, closed his eyes, and died. The minister turned to the wife and exclaimed, "Ma'am, I had no idea that your husband was such a wealthy man. I just didn't believe that he owned all that real estate, but also that he gave it all to his family. I am truly blown away with this man's generosity." The wife replied, "Well, that old fool, he doesn't own all that real estate. Those are his paper routes." Well, we need to get going here. We're not going to finish. And if we don't start, we're never going to finish. William Hamilton, who was 87, died March 1st, 2012. He was a self-proclaimed theologian. He got on the cover of Time magazine in the 1960s by doing an interview and making a statement that God had died. He came to that conclusion when he was a teenager. There was an explosion, and three of his friends were involved. Two of his friends, one a Catholic and the other an Episcopalian, died in that explosion, and the other, an atheist, was spared. In an interview in 2007 with the Oregonian newspaper, he basically denied the existence of God for allowing two religious people to die and an atheist to live. That is why he founded the movement Death of God. It is a shame that someone with so little knowledge of God and so little appreciation or understanding of his character would make such a statement. If the two religious people were saved, he should have been rejoicing over the fact that our gracious God gave the atheists another opportunity to come to know Christ as his personal Savior. After 87 years of wasted life on this earth, he learned a great truth, but he learned that truth too late. The Bible says that only a fool would proclaim that there is no God, and I say that it's even a bigger fool that would say that God is dead.
Yeah, I hear you.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." And so, talking about sealing, I remember when I was a little boy, my mother used to can. We never had a freezer. We canned things all the time. And she would begin canning at the beginning of the season, and I think that for us was peas. And she would can peas. And she would take those jars out of the canner on the old gas stove, and she would set them on a piece of brown paper bag that she had cut out, a shopping bag that she had cut on the table. And anyway, she... would leave those jars there, and every once in a while I would hear thing go pop, pop, pop. Before I knew, I said, "Mom, what is that?" And she said, "That's the jars sealing. That tells me that those jars are sealed." And she could go and look at those jars, and in the center of that lid on top of the glass jar, there was a little indentation which said that that jar was sealed. If the jar did not have that indentation on the lid, then we knew that the jar was not sealed and it wasn't safe to put away, and we'd have to use those pretty soon. But you see, that's exactly what happens with an individual who comes to know the Lord as their Savior. The Bible says, I just read it to you, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit seals you into Christ. And you know, we're going to talk about some of these things today, but the King's Seal in the Bible, and especially in this section of Scripture that we're going to look at, Daniel chapter 6, the King's Seal could not be broken. And then a third thing about the sealing, the King's Seal was unique. And then the fourth thing about the seal, God takes care of those who are sealed. I'm so glad about all of that. We're going to talk about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. And last time I was with you, I tried to explain a little bit about salvation. You're only saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved by good works. Good works can never save you. People in the Old Testament, some people believe that they were saved because they kept the Ten Commandments. No one has ever been saved by keeping the Ten Commandments or keeping the law. It is impossible, the Bible tells us, to keep the law. The law was only our schoolmaster. It was only a mirror, if you will, to show us how we fell short. Abraham was saved by grace. Abraham looked forward to the cross. We look backward to the cross, but Abraham, Jesus said of Abraham, Abraham saw my day and was glad. People in the Old Testament were not saved because they kept the Jewish law. They were saved the same way we are, the blood of Christ. Only they look forward, we look back. That's the only difference. No one has ever been saved. So sometimes people say, well, I got to keep the Sabbath. No, you can't. That doesn't make you saved. And if you're adding anything to salvation, it's not enough. But we talked about that. We talked about that last time. Today, I want to talk to you about the man Daniel. And this morning, I want to speak to you about the subject of staying in God's will. You know, it's real important for me to stay in the will of God. Think of the will of God as an umbrella. If it were raining outside real hard and you wanted to get from one place, point A to point B, the best way to do it is get an umbrella. Put that umbrella up. Go out, and even though the rain may be coming down in torrents, as long as you stay under that umbrella, you're going to be fine. Now, you may get a little wet, but mostly you're going to stay dry because you stay under that umbrella. But you know what? If you get outside that umbrella, you're going to have problems. And I'm telling you this morning, when you get outside the will of God, you are going to have problems. So, we need to make sure we stay in the will of God. Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel was in the first part of what we call the Babylonian captivity, probably around 529 B.C. At this time, Daniel was probably only 16 or 17 years old. He was not an old person. Daniel had a personal relationship with God. He was saved. Now, I want to point out in Daniel chapter 6 why I say that to you. Now, I could point to other passages, but I use this because I'm speaking on Daniel chapter 6 today. Verse number 5, it says, his God, that's Daniel, his God. Verse number 10, gave thanks before his God. You see, he had a personal relationship. Verse number 11, making supplications before his God. Daniel knew his God. Verse number 16, thy God will deliver thee. That was Darius saying that to Daniel. Darius knew that Daniel had a personal relationship with God. Verse number 20, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? You see, Darius knew that Daniel served the true and living God. God. Verse 22, my God is able. Verse 23, so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. So Daniel had I showed you all those things to verify what I'm telling you from the Word of God, that Daniel was a saved person. Daniel had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I never ask anybody, are they a Christian? Oh, are you a Christian? You know why? Because everybody's a Christian. That word, the devil has taken that word and he has emptied it of its meaning. Somebody the other day talked about, I call them Jehovah's false witnesses. Because they are witnesses for Jehovah, but they're false witnesses. One time I was on a street and one of them approached me with their literature. And by the way, they won't take your literature, but they want to give you theirs. And so anyway, they approached me and they said, well, we're Jehovah's Christian witnesses. Well, I went into a high gear. I said, there's nothing Christian about the Jehovah's false witnesses. I said, you don't believe in they do not believe in a bodily resurrection. Well, all you got to do is go through the Bible and you see that Jesus, he had a body and the disciples could handle him and touch him. After he was resurrected, he ate and talked and he walked through walls and went into rooms. I've tried doing that and I can't do that yet. But one day I'll be able to do that, and so will you. And we'll be able to, Martha Moser talked about different planetary travels and things like that. Listen, we'll be able to travel at the speed of thought. Amen. What's the speed of thought? And God has a lot of things in store, you see, for us. Now, Daniel was a bright and he was an intelligent and he was a good looking young man. How do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'll tell you. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 4 says, children in whom there was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar, this is when this verse took place, in the Babylonian captivity, he went into Judea and he picked out the prime boys that he could bring back that were intelligent, that were good looking, and so on, and bright, and people that could be taught. You know, I want to tell you something. Sometimes people come to the Word of God, you can't teach them. They know everything. Listen, you know, when you come to the Word of God, you have got to come as a student. If you come with preconceived ideas and you're going to be the teacher and you're going to use the Word of God to substantiate some belief that you have, you're not coming to the Word of God in the right way. You've got to humble yourself and say, now, Lord, I don't know. You've got to teach me. And God will teach you by His Holy Spirit. He's our guide and He will teach us those things, you see. And so the king wanted people that he could teach the language of the Chaldeans and teach them the culture and things like that. Now, that didn't mean that they had to agree with it, because Daniel never did. But he wanted them to know about that. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, illustrates to us not to be influenced by the world. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I want to tell you this story real briefly. When I was in college, I went to Buffalo State College. I studied as a teacher. I wanted to teach kids, and the Lord allowed me to do that. But when I was in a philosophy class. Now, if there's ever a waste of time, it is philosophy. And I was in this philosophy class. I remember my teacher, Dr. Victor Bailowitz. And Dr. Bailowitz was talking about Descartes, who was a total idiot. And so anyway, Descartes believed that if you walked into a room, let's say it was a library, you walked into that room, a library room, and you pulled out a book off the shelf, and you opened up that book, that all those letters came to be because you were there. When you put that book back on the shelf, now this is crazy, but this is what he believed, and you walked out of the room, that room ceased to exist. It only existed because you were in the room. I stuck up my hand. I said, hey, I was lost as a goose in a midnight fog. But I raised my hand. I said, Dr. Bailowitz, I want to ask you a question. I said, you know, I said, if somebody walks in the room, pulls out that book and opens it to page 100 and sees what's there, and he puts that book back up there and walks out of the room, and I said, the next person walks in and opens up the book, comes to page 100, sees the same thing, he puts the book back, and I went through several people like that. I said, how can that be that all of that could just happen like that? And that it could all be that way. I said, what's the answer? How could that be? They all picked the same book. They all opened it up to the same page. They all read the same thing. And it was all the same thing, but yet you're saying it wasn't there. He said, you know, you've got a good point. He said, Mr. Gray, he said, you know what? He said, that's a brilliant question. He said, I don't have any answer for that. He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to give you an A for the class. And everybody around me, I mean, we were in a class about 300, said, what was the question? What was the question? What did you say? And I did take the test, by the way, and I did go to class, but I did get the A. But I'm just saying to you that the philosophy of the world is crazy. I mean, I don't want to spend a little time on this, but I will just a little bit. Look, this same-sex bathrooms is just ridiculous. Yeah. But I want you to know today, listen, we have got an evil government. Yeah. It is wicked. It is evil, with a capital V. It's bad. Now, it is. We've got homosexual marriages. That's wrong. And you see, Brother Bruce talked about that sort of thing. And now they want to teach this stuff in the schools, in the kindergarten, that, you know, it's normal to have same-sex. No, it's not normal. It's abnormal. And that's why God was very specific about dealing with this sort of thing. The thing is, don't be spoiled by philosophy. Daniel was not. He didn't change his philosophy because of the Babylonians where he was. Daniel served under four kings: Nebuchadnezzar, he served under Belshazzar, he served under Darius, and he also served under Cyrus. God blessed Daniel. Why did God bless Daniel? Because Daniel wanted to stay in God's will. And when Daniel was a little boy, his parents taught him things about the Word of God. They had to have taught him about those things, because all through the book of Daniel, you see how Daniel reacted and how Daniel related to his surroundings based on the Word of God. He wouldn't eat the king's meat. He was a prayer warrior. There were certain things that he was taught before he was 16. And that's why it's so important we teach our young people. And you say, well, my kids are grown and there's not much I can do. Well, how about praying for the grandchildren? And start now and pray daily and pray faithfully for them. Well, I want to tell you, that makes such a difference. You've got to pray for people. Daniel was probably over 70 years old when this account in chapter 6 took place. Remember, I told you he had already served under other kings as well. He had seen a lot. The name Daniel, his name, I always like to look up names in the Bible. Daniel means my God is judge. And so that's what the name Daniel means. Daniel's abilities were recognized by each one of the kings. If you go back to Daniel chapter 2, remember Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He didn't know what the dream was. He called in all his magicians and soothsayers. He said, all right, I want you to tell me I dreamed last night. I want you to tell me about the dream. And they said, okay, king, we'll do it. Oh, king, tell us the dream. And he said, well, I don't remember the dream. That ever happened to you? You dreamed something and you woke up the next day and thought, what in the world did I dream? Well, that's what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, oh, no. If I tell you the dream, he said, yeah, you'll say, but I don't know the dream. So you either tell me the dream, you're going to die. And Daniel heard about this. And he said, well, wait a minute. King, give us a little bit of time, and I'll go with my friends who were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we'll get together, and we'll ask God, and we'll pray, and we'll find out what it is. And we'll come back to you, because God reveals secrets, you see. Anyway, what happened, you can go back and read the story. You'll find out that Daniel did tell the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, and it was the correct dream, and he gave him the interpretation of it. And God opened Nebuchadnezzar's reasoning and remembrance, and so Daniel's life, as well as the magicians and so on, was spared. So Daniel had a good reputation. Daniel in chapter 6, Daniel was set over 120 princes in the kingdom of Darius. King Darius favored him. And this angered the other political administrators. And so the Bible says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion or fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, you know, when you go through the life of Daniel, you'll find sins in Abraham's life, in Sarah's life, in Moses' life, all through the... But Daniel, you don't see that. Now, that doesn't mean Daniel was sinlessly perfect, because he wasn't. But God wants to illustrate here how much he walked with God, how much he stayed in the will, you see, if you will, of God, you see. So envy and jealousy drove these men to conspire against Daniel. And they appealed to Darius to sign a 30-day law that you could only get things through the government. Look, this is the problem in America. This is exactly it. And you can get mad at me if you like, but the Democratic Party is one of the ones that has really perpetuated this. And you give different things. I mean, in where I live in Texas, they're going to start a program that because of the Zika virus or whatever spread by mosquitoes, they're going to give every, from 10 years old up, all the ladies, they're going to give them 2 cans of mosquito spray every month. Now, you know, look, you know what? We need to take responsibility for ourselves. We really do. Not count on the government. Don't count on the government. But anyway, they got King Darius, and this appealed to him. Say, King, now listen, if anybody wants anything, we want them to come to you. We want them to come to the government. And that appealed to Darius. Darius was an immature king, and that appealed to him. Now, the laws of the Medes and Persians could not be changed. Once it was written, and it could be, not be changed. It couldn't be adapted in any way, couldn't be amended. It was done. And Daniel, though, he continued to be faithful to God even when that law was written. And for 30 days, he prayed, the Bible tells us, morning, noon, and night. And Daniel went and opened up his windows towards Jerusalem, and... Anyway, he prayed morning, noon, and night, just as he did before. And so it says here, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. So these people, you know, they waited. Now they didn't have to hide because Daniel didn't hide. What he did openly. And so they just watched him, and they had several watching him at the same time, so they had witnesses and so on. And so they caught Daniel kind of red-handed, if you will. Now when the king knew when he was tricked by these people, he wanted to change things. He didn't know what to do, and he was sad. And so somebody said, "Well, let me bring the musicians out. They'll cheer you up. Some good singing will help you." And he said, "No, I don't want the musicians tonight." And he wouldn't eat, the Bible says. And I can imagine he called his scribes in and get all the law books out and try to do whatever he could do to search to find a way to help Daniel, but. But the morning came, and he didn't find any way. And so that's a little bit of our background. Now, Daniel was blessed of God. Because of Daniel's faithfulness, you know, he was set over the kingdom of 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So everybody had to report to Daniel, and they didn't like that. And they didn't like the fact that he was Jewish either. In the verses and so on that I already read to you, you know, they said, this captive from Judea. And let me tell you, the anti-Semitism today is growing in America as well. I was listening to the radio just the other day in college campuses across America. The Jewish people are shunned and teased and ridiculed and all kinds of things like that. Look, that, you know, the Jewish people They're God's chosen people. Hey, you know, one of the things I'm concerned with in this next election, where does the candidate stand behind Israel? Because Israel is God's chosen people. That doesn't mean that everything that Israel does is right, because many things that Israel does is wrong. But they are still God's people. And I want to tell you something. Iraq says, we're going to push Israel into the sea. Hey, listen, if they push Israel into the sea, I'm going to close up my Bible and go fishing on Sunday morning. Because it ain't going to happen. It'll never, ever, ever, ever happen. Ever. God has protected that nation. God has blessed that nation in ways that no other nation on the face of God's earth will ever be blessed. Now, there is going to come a time when it's going to look like the chips are down and Israel's going to lose. But hey, my Bible tells me in Revelation chapter 19 that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and with his word, he's going to destroy all of his enemies. And the blood in Israel will flow up to the bridle of the horses, and people will be hired to bury the dead over there because God intervened for his people. And there, let me tell you, there's always going to be an Israel. Don't you listen to that nonsense. Look, since 1948, when Israel became a nation, days after they became a nation, other nations moved against them, and they were defeated by a ragtag army. Nobody could understand that in 1967 when they had that seven-day war and they freed Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem was divided into two parts and they reunited Jerusalem once again. And the Egyptians had all their planes on the tarmac. They were all loaded with gas, all filled with bombs. They were ready to go. And Israel flew in underneath the radar and bombed every one of the Egyptian planes, and in less than 24 hours, the whole Egyptian Air Force was put out of commission. Now you say that's just coincidence. That's just luck. Okay, well let me believe that God said that he's going to protect his people and he's going to stand by his people, because that's what the Word of God says. Amen. And God's going to continue to do that. Amen. You see. So, Daniel is an example of an upright politician. Boy, how we need those today. Upright politicians. You know, I went to a dinner for pro-life against abortion, and our congressman, Kevin Brady, who is a Republican, and every time he runs under this banner of conservatism and stuff. They all do, because you can't win running under liberalism, and they know that. So they run under... But he's on the financial committee. He's the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Has the power of the purse. Could stop things. And so he's up there. You know, he had paid for a whole bunch of tables. And I said to somebody, I said, is he going to be there? And they all, and I don't know whether he'd be here or not, but he's paid for a whole bunch of tables. And anyway, he got up and spoke, and I wanted to get up and say something, and I wish now I would have, because if I had it to do over, I'd do it. But I wanted to stand up and say, well, Congressman Brady, let me ask you a question. Don't you think it's a little hypocritical for you to be speaking at this particular gathering of pro-lifers when you have sponsored more bills that have financed Planned Parenthood than Sheila Jackson Lee, who comes from Houston, Texas? Because I think it is hypocritical. But you know, they do that because of votes. That's why that happened. King Darius was made aware of his abilities, and Daniel was a powerful man in Darius's kingdom. Daniel was honest. D.L. Moody. You probably heard of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody. I've read many of his books about him and so on. But D.L. Moody, it is said that $16 million went through his hands. Now that in D.L. Moody's day, that's a lot of money. That is a tremendous amount. It's a lot of money today, but it was more so even so in his day. And D.L. Moody was a faithful man, and God blessed him. And $16 million went through his hand. Daniel was faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Daniel was responsible. When you gave him a job to do, he did it. The Bible tells us that he had and maintained an excellent spirit. And what happened? Others saw Daniel and they envied him and they wanted to destroy him. You know, Somebody sent me a tape the other day, and they were talking about, their pastor was talking about Christians. And let me tell you, Christians in America, we're not going through any kind of persecution for the most part here. Now, there is some, in some areas maybe, but we're not going through. But they were saying, this pastor was saying that, you know, that word that politicians are using now is extremists. And that's what they call you if you're a Bible believer. Well, you're an extremist. Oh, sure, I believe the Bible, but I'm not extreme. I'm not like you are. I pick different things. You know, I don't believe you have to tithe, for example. And you believe that, well, that's an extremist. And so anyway, that word may come back to haunt us someday because the world doesn't like that. Now, the second thing about this law that was passed, it was an attack on God. Verse number 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it concerning the law of his God. Do you know how much America has gotten to hate the things of God? Mickey Weinstein, who is the head of the military, chaplains aren't allowed to pray in Jesus' name anymore.
That's right.
The Gideons are not allowed to give out Bibles to the new recruits.
Yeah.
And I could go on and on and on just about the military. In the school system that we have, if a little kid comes in with a Bible and puts that Bible on his desk, he'll be told to take the Bible out or get rid of the Bible. They're not allowed to. We all know about singing Christmas carols. They don't call it Christmas. They don't call it Christmas at all. They call it winter break.
They still call it Christmas.
Some places, you know, stores don't say Merry Christmas. You know, if I find out a store that says don't say Merry Christmas, I don't shop there.
Amen.
I just don't give my money. There's enough places I can go. I don't need that. I don't need that kind of nonsense. But I want to tell you something. In America, we're seeing, I would have never thought we'd see these days. Never. 20 years ago, never thought those would happen. But they are happening. Now, you know why? I'll tell you why. Because the devil knows his time is short, and the devil's trying to do everything he can to stir up people. But, you know, as more of that happens, the thing is, all we need to do is just keep looking up, because our redemption is close. And the Lord's coming is close. It's closer now than what it was last night or what it was last week.
Amen.
And the Lord is going to come again.
Verse
number 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, I just want to say here, what'd they say? They said, listen, it's unanimous. We're all agreed. You know, I've heard our president say, all scientists agree that climate change is right now. That's the right way to look at it. That's a total lie. Hey, Mark Twain years ago said, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody can do anything about it. And you can spend all the money you want, but we're not going to change climate change. And you know, when I was in biology class in high school, I learned that we breathe out carbon dioxide, and I learned that green plants breathe or give out oxygen. So we're not going to be destroyed by CO2. If you believe that, change your beliefs, because you're following the philosophies of the world, not of the Word of God. God has provided enough stuff here. We have enough oil. We have enough natural gas. We have enough gold. We have enough silver. Blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. We don't need to worry about that. And all scientists do not agree. And they found that there's been all kinds of fraud and so on in the figures. You know why? Money. Because they know that if they say, oh, yeah, we believe in climate change, that's a cash cow for them. And that's why they're doing that. It's money. That's why I say our government is, look, we're not being told the truth. You're not being told the truth.
That's right.
Look, have you, sometimes, you know, they'll say, don't drink coffee. Coffee will kill you. Don't drink. No, if you have to drink it, only drink one cup of coffee. Don't eat butter. Butter will kill you. You go to the store, you know, eat popcorn. You know, that's like eating cardboard. I like popcorn with lots of butter on it. Man, that's the way I like it. And then they'll come out and they'll say, "Oh no, we made a mistake. Go ahead and eat buttered popcorn. Just don't eat it in excess. It's good for you." And coffee, we've made some studies and we found out that if you drink coffee, it'll actually help you not to get a heart attack or whatever the thing. So the truth is, they have no idea. They don't know. Verse number 8. "Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." 9. "Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree." So Psalm 11, verse 3 is a good verse. And if you can remember this, it'd be good. If you can write it down, it might be better. Psalm 11, 3 says, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Look, this. When I was preaching back in the 80s, I said, you know, the problem in America is our court system. And that's where our problem is today, our judicial system. Our judicial system and our not-so-supreme Supreme Court, that's what I call them, because they're not so supreme. But anyway, in them deciding about same-sex marriages, they've made so many horrendous decisions. Just unbelievable. And, you know, every person on that court, they're an atheist, they're Jewish, they're Roman Catholic. There's not a Protestant on there. There's not a devoted Christian on that Supreme Court. How in the world are they going to examine something in a right way? They can't. It's impossible. They can't do it. John Jay, who was the first Supreme Court justice, said no person, you can go back and look it up if you want, no person should ever be put on the Supreme Court unless they were a devout Christian and it can be proven. That's what John Jay said. And how far have we come today? So this law appealed to Darius's pride. Darius, by the way, means Lord. He was not very intelligent in some ways, but he was easily manipulated. The law was written to get one man, Daniel. That was why that law was written. It wasn't written for anybody else. It was written for him. Look, we might see the day when a law is written. And by the way, I put on my circle of love about Iowa, where some of you come from. I know Karen comes from there. Iowa, they've set up there that, hey, listen, if you have a church and you have public services, you cannot, the ushers and so on, when people come in there and they say, "I'd like to use the bathroom," you cannot say, "Well, you've got to go to this bathroom, you've got to go to this bathroom."
Give me a break.
And that's happening now. So this law was written, you see, for one man. Notice these men never mentioned Daniel to the king. Oh, hey, this is a shrewd little bunch. They could have said, "Hey, listen, you know, King Darius, King, live forever. You know the one man you've got over us, Daniel?" No, they didn't say that. They knew, because they knew Darius liked Daniel. They knew that if they said something about Daniel, Darius would say, "Hey, get out of here. I'll have you put in jail." So they didn't mention Daniel at all. They just said, "Hey, Daniel, or Darius, wouldn't it be great if you passed a law saying that anybody that needed anything, they'd come to you?" And that appealed to Darius's pride, you see. And so hatred united these men. And notice also in this law, punishment was predetermined. There was no appeal given for the person that violated this law. It just said that as soon as you violate this law, you're going to be cast into the den of lions. There's no appeal. Wow, what a law. What a bunch of people, I tell you. And so Daniel, once he was declared guilty, he had no defense, you see. So verse number 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." Now, you can look this up. I'm not going to read it. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 48 and 49, Solomon talked about this, how that, you know, you look towards Jerusalem and pray in that direction, and God will hear your prayers. And I believe Daniel was a student of the Word of God, and he knew that, you see. Daniel's prayers, although they were private, yet they were public. He did not hide his Christianity. And I believe it was Renee that talked about that. You shouldn't hide your Christianity. Look, when you go to a restaurant and before you eat your food, and you might be with a group of people that are heathens, they're not Christians, you know, you don't need to make a big deal out of it, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with you saying, well, listen, before I eat, I'm going to just give thanks for this food. Instead of just eating with the rest of them, because you don't want to look like an oddball or something. But you know, God will honor your stand, you know, for him in that way, and he really will. Another thing, Daniel's obedience was a blessing to God. Daniel was thankful to God for his many blessings. He was consistent, and he was faithful in his daily walk with God. Even when Daniel knew about the law, he didn't say, well, I opened the window before, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go in my closet. I'm still going to pray, but I'm going to go in the closet because, after all, I know what's in that law. And I'm going to honor God, but I'm going to do it in another way. He didn't do that. He was consistent, you see, in his life. And then we want to look at the deceiver's plan. Verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. I wonder how they did that. Probably like the story in John chapter 8 with the woman taken in adultery. Who knows? You know, maybe somebody was paid. I think that's what happened to entice this woman. And so these people waited outside the window and watched and waited. And as soon as they could, they took that woman caught in adultery and they brought her before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they assembled themselves and they said, now look, Lord, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. There's no doubt about it. They didn't care about her. And these men were the same way with Daniel. They didn't care. Supplication. You know what supplication means? It's a religious term. It means to ask help of God. Daniel, when he was on his knees, maybe he said something like this. Oh, God, I know about this law. God, I've been faithful. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. You've got to help me. You've got to show me what to do. I don't know what to do. I know you know the answer. Verse number 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now see, he doesn't know yet it's Daniel. They're not telling him it's Daniel. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. So they verified that Daniel prayed, and so the king was in distress. We see the sadness of the king in verse number 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. We've already talked about this, but he was displeased with himself. Did you ever make a bad decision? Boy, I've made some bad decisions. Darius, he said, why in the world did I let these men talk me into signing that law? And I don't know what to do to straighten that situation out. You know why? You know why he did that? Because he wasn't in the will of God. I wonder if he'd have went to Daniel and said, Daniel, what do you think about this law? But he didn't do that. And yet Daniel was pretty high up. He was honest. We've already talked about that. He was faithful. He was responsible. And see, Darius, he was outside the will of God. Now he's got himself into a pickle. What's he do? And sometimes when we get outside the will of God, that's exactly what happens. We get out of the will of God and we find ourselves into some problem. And, we are then, you know, in a mess. So we're going to go on here. Verse number 16. Then the king commanded. He didn't want to do this. But then the king commanded. And they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now I want to say this. Look, this den of lions, I've been to Israel, and we've seen some of these dungeons and so on that they had. And we went down several steps to get down to where the lower part of the dungeon was. Now, this dungeon where these lions were, I think was pretty much the same. And so they had this underground cave, if you will, and way up on top they had a hole that they would use to drop food down or people down, as we're going to see here in a minute. And that's what would feed the lions. That's the way they got rid of the criminals, you see. And so it wasn't just a 6-foot drop. It was a big drop. How big? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But he was cast into the den of lions. It was a significant drop. I can show you why I believe that in a few minutes. But the thing is, hey, listen, God was there. And God provided a way. I don't know that's true. That's just a little bit of my imagination. But I think that's what happened. Might have happened. And so the thing is, they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the cave, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Hey, he couldn't sleep. Hey, you know, sometimes when you can't sleep, one good thing to do is to get up and read the Bible. One good thing to do is get up and pray. One good thing to do is to meditate on the Word of God. Find a verse that maybe you know. This verse has been repeated several times this week. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And meditate on thee. Thou, who's thou? It's the great God. It's the creator of the world. Thou wilt keep. Now that's a military term there. Keep means to, like, guard, like to set up a, like we when we went to that museum, how they set up borders and so on to protect, and even in the Bible they set up walls and stuff to protect the people in the city. You get the idea. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, and so on. Meditate on the Word of God, you see. It's a big help. So no earthly law could deliver Daniel, but God took care of Daniel. So I want to look at Daniel's victory. We're almost done. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a loud, lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Daniel, now look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Look at verse number 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Now see, he couldn't get out of there himself. He had to have help getting out of there. It was down quite a ways. I don't know how deep it was. 10 feet, 20, probably more than that, 20 feet, 30 feet. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. That's why. Because he trusted God. Because he stayed in God's will. Oh, hey, listen, it's so important to stay in God's will. And I want you to know the devil wants to get you outside God's will. That's exactly what he wants to do. Sometimes I've known people that have had they've had a job offer, you know, in another town. Oh, I'm going to make three times what I make here. And my instant question to him, is there a good church here? Is a good Bible believe? Oh, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to check. You know what? If there isn't, that's exactly what the devil wants, to get people away from church, away from the Word of God, away from the things of God. And so we need to be careful in those things. So this is in the Old Testament, I look for pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel was in this lion's den, and then he was brought up out of the den alive. Hey, that's what happened to the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Now, of course, he spent, we know, 3 days and three nights, but he came out of that grave alive, you see. And so Daniel's life was caused for great rejoicing of the king. Hey, listen, Jesus' resurrection from the dead was great joy for the disciples. Now, at first they didn't understand, and they were afraid, and all this and that. But hey, later on, hey, they were excited about what had happened. They knew what Jesus said and what he had experienced and what they had seen and heard when they were in that upper room, and Jesus came and walked through that wall and talked to them and ate with them. They knew it was real, and they were thrilled with joy. And so was this king. He was thrilled over Daniel. And notice Daniel gave glory to God for his safety. In verse number 22, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much before him innocency was found in me. And then we look at God's justice. Verse number 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men that accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives. And the lions had the mastery over them in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. So it was high up. And before they ever got to the bottom, these lions were, I got that one, I got that one. Oh, how terrifying that must have been. But I want you to know today, my dear friend, that the judgment of God is a terrifying thing. You know, we think, you know, I think really people don't realize the awfulness and the awfulness and the permanency of a place called hell. Because it's permanent. You never, ever, ever get out of it. Ever. And so these individuals, God's justice came. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be unto the end. Verse 27, and he delivereth and rescueth, and he showeth signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And finally, verse number 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Why? Because he stayed in the will of God. He was taught the will of God when he was a child, and it stuck. And he was faithful to God, and God blessed him because of his faithfulness, and God took care of him. Why? Because Daniel stayed in the will of God. If there's any message that I could get across to you today, find the will of God for your life. God has one for you. If you're saved, God has one for you. And stay in that will. Don't let anybody else get you out of that will of God, because God has a place for you, and God wants to bless you. Heavenly Father, now as we close this service, Lord, we just ask your blessing, Lord, on each one of these folks that are here. Lord, I know these folks love you, and Lord, they want to be faithful to you. And Lord, we just pray that some of the things that I've said today, that the Holy Spirit can take those things and use them to teach your word and have it blossom extended faith in our lives. Lord, we serve a great God. We serve the same God that took care of Daniel. It's no different. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Lord, we pray that we would just trust you more. Lord, even though we see the world falling apart, and it will fall apart, Lord, we know one day there has to come a world dictator. And for, sad to say, for a world dictator to come, America has to fall. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that you just give us a little more time. Lord, that you give us a little more time to reach our loved ones, our friends and family and neighbors and relatives and other people that we don't even know, that we might share the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that we might take them to heaven with us one day. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing on the remainder of this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Reverend George. Thank you so much. Okay, well, Don't forget Mike Smith's seminar on Noah's Ark at 2 p.m. in this room. Otherwise, we are adjourned. See you guys at 7:30.